God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, today's gospel lesson is one of those days that it seems a sermon is unnecessary.
What happened to him? He was beheaded, had his head cut off.
mourner's death, except for Jonah. Jonah poured boiling oil on Jonah, and he survived. He lived through it. They tried to kill him, and he ended up living in exile on the island of Patmos. So all 12 of the original disciples died a martyr's death. They were killed at the hands of either the Sanhedrin or the Pharisees or Rome. So you didn't want to get on the wrong side of the Pharisees or the Sanhedrin. Or you could expect a high degree of misery and maybe a very short future. So there's nothing new under the sun going on here. This stuff that was going on in the day of Jesus is the same thing that's going on today. People have always tried to avoid conflict, and they wanted to be liked by everybody. That's just human nature. No one likes to be disliked. And yet, faithfully following Jesus will make you disliked by a lot of people. There's also the fact that following Jesus wasn't exactly a fast track to the finer things in life. In fact, following Jesus often put one lower than the animals in terms of the finer things in life and the luxuries that one could expect. Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He also said, "Take nothing." He told his disciples, "Take nothing for your journey. No staff, no money bag, no bread, no money, and do not have two tunics." Basically, what you got on your back, take that as you leave on your journey. He also said, "If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well." Yep. Following Jesus wasn't exactly the world's picture of a perfect success then, was it? Which is why many of his own disciples would doubt and despair and turn and walk away. It was all bad for business. Now I know at this point that it's rather easy for us to look down upon those disciples who had turned away from Christ when things didn't go the way that they had planned. After all, we would never do that, would we? And yet we do. We do it all the time. Just think about how often we try to help Jesus out when things aren't working exactly the way we had anticipated or had hoped for. Just think how we try to build a better churchly mousetrap. You know, always somebody's trying to build a better mousetrap when we try to do that with the church. There's got to be something better. There's got to be something bigger, something more grand to bring people into the church. I got news for you. Every single generation since the birth of Christ has tried to do the very same thing. They have tried different avenues of bringing more people into the church. They've tried all sorts of gimmicks. They've tried all sorts of programs. They've tried all sorts of things to get introduced them as mission-minded or church growth to increase the number in the pews. It's no different today. Right up the road, not far from here and north of us, is an outfit that does nothing but goes around the world teaching churches how to fill their pews. And did I mention they're very wealthy people? So it's happened for centuries. Faithful word and sacrament ministry gets put onto the back burner in favor of the newest gimmick, marketing ploys, business models, all of these things geared at winning the market share in specific demographics. is the reason Jesus taught parables. This is why he still teaches parables to us today. In a very real way, Jesus is teaching us to stay the course. Remain firm. He's given us his means of grace as the seed that grows his kingdom. Remember what he said? He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Anybody see the fine print in Matthew 28, verse 19? Did you see the fine print in between the lines? All the little stipulations about all the special effects and all the little special details that you've got to include, all the little things that you're supposed to keep in mind and all the strength and hope and everything that you're supposed to have built up inside of you as you go out and make disciples of all nations. There aren't any. Jesus said, go. Matter of fact, if you added up the number of times in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how many times Jesus says, go, you're going to have over 120 times Jesus has said, go! By sowing his seed, that is, by baptizing and teaching people all that he has commanded and taught. His word and sacraments, they give new life. New life sprouts forth from these seeds of divine grace, and only from these seeds of his divine grace. How does that happen? How does the farmer know how the seed works? He puts it in the ground. He keeps the area right. He provides fertilizer, provides water if it needs it. He provides a pesticide to keep the bugs off of it. But how does that seed sprout? The farmer is not responsible for that. God makes it grow. Nothing else can do that. There's nothing else in the world that can offer to produce these fruits and a rich and abundant harvest. There's nothing else but God that can provide life, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and peace. We can try and grow God-pleasing all we want. But if we're not sowing his seed, all we're going to do is find a crop of weeds growing up. We can try to doctor up the seeds like they do today to produce a bumper crop. But are we really going to improve upon what God, our Creator, has designed? Christ upon the cross. He's the master gardener to work in our lives. In the words of Martin Luther, he said, here I stand, I can do no other. Well, here I stand as the one who's been called and ordained by Christ to freely sow the seeds of grace, mercy, and peace to you. I can do no other, and by his grace I will do no other. And may the same be said of you. May you ever and always trust in God above all things, and may you ever and always take shelter in the smallest seed of all, the bloody cross of Christ. Be recognized through the eyes and ears of a saving faith that gives unconditional and abundant shelter and peace to all who would believe. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human